Hello everyone and welcome to another preview here on the channel. As always, I'm joined by Mr. Gregor himself, Ewan Wilson, and today we're talking about one of the oldest races on the calendar, the 102nd edition of Vuelta a Catalunya. And Ewan, Vuelta a Catalunya, is there any editions that really you hold high regard in your memory?
Well, the tumbleweeds start turning, the crickets, all we can hear.
Who won last year?
The silence, it is deafening. Vuelta a Catalunya is not a race I usually tune into. Usually because this is a very busy part of the year for the Cobble Classics. And I mean, it comes just sort of around Milano San Remo time, which is when we switch our focus really. Therefore, it kind of has this issue of not really standing out at this part of the calendar. Tour of the Basque Country, similar. It's wedged between so many big name classics that our attention is often sort of elsewhere whilst these races are going on. But in 2023, we have a very, very strong start list for the second year in a row. And yeah, it's going to be an intriguing week of racing around northern Spain.
Yeah, last year's winner was Sergio Higuita. We also had, we had Richard Carapaz up there fighting for top honours and Joao Almeida as well winning a stage. But Ewan, in terms of the route, what lies in front of the riders for the 2023 edition?
Well, I should preface this by saying, please don't hold me accountable for my poor Catalan pronunciations, because you're going to be hearing a lot of them. Beginning with stage one, which is a sort of rolling stage, from Sant Feliu de Guíxols to Sant Feliu de Guíxols. It has a sort of slightly uphill finale, which means it'll be perfect for the hardier sprinters. Stage two will take the riders from Mataró up to Vuelta. Vuelta, which has been used on a couple of previous occasions, most notably in 2019 and 2021, when Adam Yates took the win on both occasions. That climb, if you're looking for statistics, is 15 kilometers at 6.7% average gradient. From then we move to stage three, which goes from Olos to La Molina, which is another sort of difficult day of racing with 4,000 meters of total elevation gain throughout the day. There are three climbs on offer, and the last one to La Molina, it's a bit of a sort of two-step climb. We've seen this climb before last year. In fact, it was Ben O'Connor who won on this finale. And sort of the two-step finale will make it a little bit more favorable to maybe a small bunch gallop between the GC guys. Nevertheless, stage four will take the riders closer to Barcelona from Llivia, which actually is the Catalan exclave in France. So we will have about 2 kilometers of racing in France before the riders make their way towards Sabadell for a, I would say, hilly sprint stage. It's very sort of Vuelta Catalunya style finish. Stage five from Tortosa to La Porte will be another sort of hilly day with a steep, steep finale at 8 kilometers at 9% average gradient. The day after on stage six from Motarel to Molins de Rey is another hill stage, which you could probably say is a sort of paint by numbers Vuelta Catalunya stage before stage seven, the finale of this year's race, will be the typical Barcelona to Barcelona stage with many, many ascents of the Alto de Montjuïc. I'm so sorry, I've probably butchered that pronunciation. And this is the typical finale we see in this race. We've seen it over the past couple of years. Sometimes it goes to a breakaway, sometimes it goes to a small group sprint, but that will be where the final GC moves will be made and our winner will be crowned in Barcelona.
Thanks for that, as always, Ewan. Well, we could have started with the defending champions, Bora, but it seems like they're not going to be sending Sergio Higuita to this race. It looks like Outer Brooks is going to be heading up that team. But I think we should start with one of the teams that have actually confirmed their lineup and has the world champion currently, Remco Evenepoel and Sudal Quickstep. This is one of the last tests before he starts his Giro d'Italia assault, you would say.
Yeah, this is last stage race before the Giro, we should say. He's going to be targeting Liège-Bastogne-Liège again, and I believe he's going to be drafted into the Brabant-Supel as well. Yeah, I think Sudal coming here with an incredibly strong squad, this will probably be their Giro squad, so it's a good sort of practice for them. On the start list, we have Fausto Masnada, Peter Seri, Ilan van Wilder, Mattia Cattaneo, Jan Hirt, and Louis Vervaeke. If that is not the Giro roster, I will be surprised. These are the strongest climbers available at Sudal Quickstep. And they're the kind of guys that you would expect to really support Remco Evenepoel and give this team a sort of spine throughout this stage race. We've seen that Sudal maybe sometimes put under pressure, fold a little bit in the mountains, but with this kind of roster, they will certainly be up there and will be one of the strongest teams in this race. I mean, some of these profiles do sort of scream Remco Evenepoel. He's performed very well in Spain in the past, of course, winning the Vuelta, but also with his performances at the Vuelta a Burgos in 2020, his two victories in the Basque Country, and I mean, other sort of, I mean, exploits in Spain really do seem to be his forte. So it all kind of points towards a solid result for him. He's already got the ball rolling at the UAE Tour with an overall win there. Yeah, I think we can definitely expect him to be in top five. The only downside for him is that there is no time trial to sort of give him a self-belief and to give him a cushion. We know over the past couple of years in stage races, he can sort of sweep up almost vacuum time in the time trials. There's no space for that this year, so that will probably affect his style of racing quite a bit in what usually is quite a courageous stage race like the Volta a Catalunya, which rarely has a time trial involved.
Yeah, we're not sure if he actually is too bothered about the result or if this is just merely a tune-up, as you said, well, his last stage race before he jets off to Italy. But yeah, so our Quickstep have not actually won this race either. So it would be a nice first for them if he could actually achieve that. But yeah, like you said, I think the climbing squad definitely are going to be very suited here. Nevertheless, keeping the ball rolling, I think EF Education EasyPost are a real team of note. We've spoken about Richard Carapaz. We've praised his name for so many years, being one of the most consistent riders in terms of Grand Tours now with his new team and also national champion for the first time in his career. And Ewan, how do you think the, well, very South American outfit are going to be doing here?
Yeah, exactly that. This will be his first stage race with Education First EasyPost, and I'm excited to see what he brings to this. Of course, you mentioned the sort of Latin American setup. We have Rigoberto Urán as well as Esteban Chávez alongside him at this race, which will definitely, I mean, it provides really strong support to this formation. In terms of the route, well, it looks very Carapaz-friendly. He performed very well last year on a similar parkour. He was brave enough to go up the road with Egita on one of the stages last year, and that sort of cemented his place in the top two in GC. And I would suggest that he probably is going to be one of the top-tier favorites, one of the podium contenders for this year's race. You have to be courageous to win the Volta a Catalunya, and Richard Carapaz is a very courageous rider. We've seen that at Ineos, we've seen that when he was riding for Movistar. If he can continue that sort of courageous energy into EF, which I'm almost sure he will be, I'm pretty favorable towards Richard Carapaz getting a comfortable podium place here. We've seen in the past, yes, it maybe was a while back, that this squad has done well in this race. Dan Martin won this race in 2013 with the squad, so yeah, I would say I'm quite favorable to this result.
Well, speaking of, well, Jumbo-Visma, we can't not mention them. They're coming here with the Tirreno Adriatico recent winner, Primoz Roglic. Again, he's tuning up for the Giro d'Italia. Wilco Kelderman as well in that squad. But Ewan, Primoz Roglic, he's kind of one of the best one-week stage races there is on the circuit right now. And do you think potentially the Slovenian could be the man to beat here, despite no time trial kilometers here?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think the time trial kilometers affected him that much in Tirreno. Yes, he got a bit of an advantage, but he proved that he was strongest there overall regardless. I think this route is very Roglic friendly. For instance, that finish to La Molina is very sort of Roglic-y. If it ends at a small bunch kick, he's definitely a guy to be up there in contention. And similarly, Valter, the finish on stage two, it's 15k at 6%. It's tough, but it's not sort of crazy. So maybe if Roglic is still there, I think sprinting is within his means. Similarly, the finish to La Porte on stage five, it's the kind of finish that we would see Roglic perform very well at the Vuelta a España in the years gone by, where he's, of course, he's won it three times. So yeah, I'm very favorable towards Roglic being right up there in contention. And I'm also excited to see Roglic get reunited with Sepp Kuss in this week of racing. Sepp Kuss and Roglic, they've done incredible things in the past. The Tour de France as well. More notably, I would say the Vuelta a España, where both of them have worked with great synergy. Sepp Kuss lives in Andorra, not far away from the route of this race. Maybe he knows the home roads and can provide a little bit of local knowledge to help Roglic's efforts here. So yeah, I think Jumbo-Visma are nailing for the podium.
It seems like you can't mention Jumbo-Visma without mentioning another team in recent weeks, UAE Team Emirates. It seems like these two have been fighting on all sorts of races to try and win. But yeah, UAE Team Emirates, Ewan, there's no Tadej Pogačar here, but there is last year's podium finisher of João Almeida. Jay Vine, Tour Down Under, we know that. But Adam Yates, as you also mentioned in the route preview, he's won twice there. So, yeah, very strong team here from the early list that we can see. And yeah, what do you think they're going to be doing here?
Yeah, exactly. Adam Yates has performed very well in this race in the past. He's won twice at the Summit Finish to Vuelta. He finished second overall in 2019 and one overall in 2021. He's also been performing well this year in the stage races with a second place at the UAE Tour against Remco Evenepoel. He's a guy who knows these roads. He spent some time in this part of the world. He's lived in Catalonia for a while. So I would sort of suggest that he is probably going to be one of the top dogs. Almeida as well in the start list provides a little bit more structure to their mountain focus. He looked very good at Terreno Adriatico, sort of using his diesel engine there, and he also rode very well last year. If it weren't for Aguita and Carapaz's move across the mountains last year, then probably Almeida would have won this race overall. I'm excited to see what's going to happen. And also, I mean, we often sort of slate UAE for being a little bit silly in 1 week long stage races when they have lots of leaders. We've seen in the past, particularly last year when they had sort of Soler, they had Ayuso, they had Almeida all starting the same race. Who's going to be leader? They don't even know. But this year, it seems like they sorted that out at Tirreno Adriatico, where we saw Adam Yates talking about working for Joao. And I suspect they're going to have a leader going into this and will have a sort of sharper focus than they have done in the past. I think it's going to be more structured and it should probably bring some reward. Who to, Almeida or Yates? That's up for you to decide.
I'm sure our predictions is going to paint a bit of a picture to that. But before we go into the predictions, a few other riders to look out for. Tobias Johannessen from Uno X, top 10 finisher last year. Mikael Landa, have to mention him in always. Egan Bernal potentially could do something here, but Geraint Thomas is also going to be there, representing Ineos. Again, part of this Giro d'Italia Tour de France crossover that we have here at the Vuelta a Catalunya. But Oscar Only is probably one Ewan also would highlight, as well as Romain Bardet. But with that out of the way, Ewan, who is your top three for Vuelta a Catalunya 2023?
Okay, here's my hot take. Evenepoel doesn't make the podium. That's my hot take of the day. I think something's going to go wrong. We haven't had a major Evenepoel meltdown in a while. And it's almost about time we had one. I'm not wishing that upon him. I'm just saying, looking back at his like history, he's had a lot of 1 week long stage races where he makes a whoopsie in one day and that hurts him overall. And I think it might come in Catalunya, a race known for its sort of big whoopsies. In that case, I'm going to say third place goes to Richard Carapaz. Second place goes to Adam Yates, and the winner's Primož Roglič. No one's better at a 1 week long stage race at the World Tour level.
Remco third, second Roglič, and first Richard Carapaz, first race win. We have education with him. That's basically it for this preview. Make sure to subscribe to the channel, like the video.